are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM The Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to teach and share. And I'm super excited because the perfect guest to actually echo that and amplify that message is none other than the young lady I am about to introduce to you. This woman is extremely talented and gifted. She's a motivational speaker. She's an author. She's a life coach. Better yet, she is a game changer for entrepreneurs in 2019. Would you be so kind to put your hands together in a virtual hand clap to welcome to the conversation Juliet N. Jones. Welcome to OMG.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Margale. Yes, I am on with you, Melinda. How are you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic. Melinda won't be chiming in. She'll be taking care of everything technical. So you and I are going to have a conversation, and our listeners get an opportunity to eavesdrop on that conversation. So I first want to start off by announcing our actual title. The title to tonight's show is Recharge, Refuel, and Restart. So I'm going to toss it to you and let you unpack a bit of what we're going to talk about, and then we'll just take it layer by layer and break that down to how it fuels into dedication and commitment and discipline. But let's go ahead and start with that first word, recharge. I know that you've lived through a lot of different experiences, and I'm sure at some point you've had moments where you just needed to dial back in, plug back in, recharge your battery. So if you can share with our listeners maybe a personal story of some situation or incident that happened that just knocked your battery completely dead and you had to plug in, and then we'll go into why that's so important that we recharge.
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of times in our life where we feel like God has, you know, he's there, but sometimes we don't always feel his presence. And when we go through those times where we feel like life's knocked us down, it's hard to get back up. I'm a divorced single mother of two children. And when I was living in New Jersey, and I'm originally from Harrisburg, PA, but at the time I was living in New Jersey, I wasn't sure what I was going to do after my divorce. I had packed everything up, Mara, in my car. That's all I could fit was everything in my car. I didn't even have money to get a U-Haul to move. And I remember driving down the highway with both kids, heading back to my hometown to stay with family or friends, wondering, where do I go from here? How do I pick up the pieces and start over? How do I recharge my life? And God reminded me that he is a God of restoration. And I remember just thinking about Psalm 71, 21, you will restore me to even greater honor and comfort me once again. The whole way down the highway, just thinking about how God was going to restore me and help me pick up those pieces. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And all you have to do is stay focused on me despite what you see, despite what you're going through, and trust me. I will recharge you like that rechargeable battery, and you will be restored with everything not only that you lost, but more, because he reminds us that he will pour those blessings out that sometimes we wouldn't have room to receive. And that's what happened with me in going from zero, being a broke, divorced, single mom with two kids, through my journey all the way up to being the CEO of my own company after God had an opportunity to show me just how awesome he was and how he can recharge you and be the God of restoration in your life.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And what a blessing you are to those of us who haven't had, who've had an opportunity to glean from you. You know, to hear your story, divorced, single mom of two kids, and how many times do people get paralyzed in those moments and they don't know what to do, but you loaded up your car, drive to your hometown, and of course we have to do what we have to do, and that's a very humbling experience to have to go back. You know what I mean? Whenever we have to go back, it's a humbling experience, but God always has a way of turning what seems like a problem into something for that will propel us to our next, you know, and your phrase from zero to CEO, I love that phrase of yours because it illuminates how God does give us beauty for our ashes, how he turns all things around for our good. And had you not been knocked on your back, or had you not had these disappointments or challenges, who knows the story you would have written, you know, and it's out of those oppositions or those challenges that force us to set a new trend, to blaze a new trail, or to break out of the mode. So thank you.
Thank you
for sharing that story with us. I really appreciate it. So let's take recharge. Let's use that. Let's take that word, you know, recently in the news, and we're still mourning the loss of one of our icons, one of our African-American men, our icon, filmmaker John Singleton. He was so young, you know, 51 years old, to have gone into a coma after a stroke and then, you know, to not come out of that and then to expire is just heartbreaking. But it is also a huge bell being rung, a clarion call, if you will, for us to take note of our body, our situations. And so I'd like for you to just talk about recharging, the importance of recharging, and if you even have tips on when we need to know or when we can have signals or signs letting us know that it's time to recharge, because learning how to recharge is one thing, but knowing when to recharge, I believe sometimes people miss the warning signs, or they're just not in tune enough with their body. And maybe you can pull back the curtain and share some things to let us know how to be aware, or how to be more in tune with our body and the discomfort that being drained or depleted can actually present itself, the symptoms that can be presented when we're not charged. So if you can share any information on that, would be great.
Absolutely. First, I want to touch on prayers and condolences go out for the loss of John Singleton. We had an opportunity, my family and I, to meet up with him when I used to live in Los Angeles, California. And, you know, we don't always understand God's timing. You know, we don't always understand when your time is up. That's why it's so important that when you are here living and breathing, that you make the best of each and every moment, and that you make sure that you have God in your life and that he is the author of your life. So then when we leave this earthly suit, we go on to eternal life in heaven with him. So my prayers and condolences do go out to the Singleton family for that loss. It was very important that you mentioned knowing when to recharge when you're in moments such as loss, moments such as fear, moments such as feeling like you failed, or you just don't know what to do when you're faced with a circumstance like myself with job loss, being a single mom, because that struggle is real, divorce.
Yeah.
If someone's out there dealing with depression, you know, suicide, that rate is very high, especially among our youth today. It's knowing yeah. that when you hit those moments, and this is why it is so important to have God in your life, to be able to go to this book that I call Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, which is the Bible.
Yes, yes.
To understand and apply those affirmations every single day. So when you're in that moment of despair, you can rest assured on those affirmations and knowing that God is your strength, He's your safety net, knowing that, you know, when fear comes in or conflict or whatever it is, that those words will encourage you not to give up. Because a lot of times that's what it is. We feel like all hope is lost because we're looking in the natural eye, which is what I was doing. I'm not going to lie. I was kicking and screaming. I was angry. I was a little angry with God because I felt like, you know, how did I come to this? But it's in those right. moments that He uses those moments to show you just how awesome He is, and it's to strengthen you. And that was something I had to learn. And if you're not in the situation for Him to bring you out of, then you don't know how strong you are. You don't know how fearless you can become. You don't know that He's your safety net or your strength if you're not put into that situation. So I encourage anybody that if you're ever in a situation like that, or you're dealing with what I dealt with, or even like we were talking about a recent loss, is applying those basic instructions before leaving Earth, because that Bible, Mara, is our blueprint on how to get through this yes. thing called life. Before I wrote a book, before anybody else's book, mm-hmm. that is the book. Mm. Amen.
And amen. And the number one yes. selling book.
The bestseller.
Okay.
And it is. It's the best-selling book to get us through life.
It really is. It really is. I thank you so much for taking the time to share that information and enlighten our listeners. You know, I believe that sometimes folks are running on fumes. You know, they and the word talks about, you know, being ready in season and out. But there's also, you know, and Jesus is known to do it as well. He took time to rest. He had a Sabbath, mm-hmm. you know, and I believe we're so busy being busy, and we're so busy adding more to our calendars, more people, more events, more function, and the gift of no, unfortunately, with a lot of women. I mean, and I'm not talking just my circle. I'm talking across the board. And even men just overcommit themselves and don't know how to say no. And a part of saying no is to allow and afford ourselves the opportunity to let God speak to us, to do His divine download, as well as to let our body properly rest so that it can be ready to run the next day or to do what it is that we have to accomplish in the days ahead. And far too often, we're so busy being busy, or we're overcommitted or overextended, that we miss those warning signs of either brain fog, or we're running so much that we're forgetting to do X, Y, and Z, or missing appointments. You know, how many times have you connected with somebody and they're like, oh my goodness, I forgot to do this, you know, and it's because mm-hmm. we are so overextended and we're not recharging our battery. So our brain can't function at the level and in the capacity that it needs to. And so I'm super excited. I want to open up the conversation just in general, because I know sometimes we have people that want to call in and join the conversation, or they may want to ask you a question. So if you're interested in asking a question or making a comment, give us a call at 347-324-5246. You know, my special guest tonight is none other than Juliet N. Jones. Actually, we have our first caller. Our first caller, if the last four digits are 0800. If you've got a question or a comment, you're on live with Mara Gale and Juliet Jones.
Hi, this is Paulita, and I just want to say great show, and to your guest, Ms. Jones, I'm glad that God restored you. I'm glad that God poured out His blessings to you, and I pray pray that your book is a bestseller. And I do have God in my life. And I just want to thank you, Mara, for letting me share.
Bless your heart. Thank you. Paulette, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much, Paulette. And may God bless you. There is greatness within you. And what he does for me, he'll do for anybody. So thank you for that. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you as well, sis.
Hi, thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. Super excited about just turning the page on us going down the list, because they go together. Recharge, refuel, and restart are like a three prong. That's basically what it is, or like a three strand. You need all of those ingredients in order to make it be what it is. So let's go ahead and go into refueling, the importance of refueling. You know, even though it's similar to recharging, let's kind of unpack that and share with our listeners what we mean when we talk about refueling. You know, I know your new book entitled Tired of Being Tired deals with these challenges. So if you want to share a little bit about how your book touches on that and then go into the refuel process, that would be outstanding.
Sure, absolutely. Well, when I say refueling, and you touched on this when we were talking earlier, Mara, how you can be overcommitted, overbooked, we're constantly running. Just a day in the life as a married woman or a single woman or you know, a mother, a father, we're living life and we have commitments and we have responsibilities that sometimes we don't take time for ourselves. We don't take time to refuel in five areas of our life that I also talk about in my book when we become depleted. And those five areas are spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. And because we do so much on our day-to-day, we don't take the time to spiritually refuel when we start to run on empty, to mentally refuel, emotionally refuel, physically refuel, because our body is a temple and we have to take care of it, or it'll find a way to tell you that something's wrong. But if we take care of our body and we eat right and we exercise, then we'll be in good health so that we can perform and live our purpose the way that God intended us to do, because that's why he created us with purpose, with gifts and talents, so that we can spread the good news and we can help others while we're here and be a reflection of his perfect image. And then financially, we get depleted. So yes, there's some things that I share in my book on how to refuel financially, how to invest. I knew nothing about investment. I just knew I was tired of being broke. Okay, I was tired of being broke. I was tired of telling my kids, you know, we can't afford it. I remember Christmas. My kids got so used to not being able to get everything that they wanted on the list, and it wasn't even a lot, that I had to say, well, we can't get everything, but, you know, we'll get it when I get my income tax check, that they started saying, oh, don't worry, well, this is for Christmas, and these are for February when you get your income tax, because I didn't have enough money.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And so in doing that, I started to read. I started to, because information and knowledge is so powerful. I started getting books. I started to read on how to invest my money, how to start saving. You know, and you start small, because it's hard to save. A lot of times I was one of those people that would say, how am I supposed to save when I don't have anything? I get my check.
Yeah.
That's depleted before I even get it. So how am I going to save if I don't have enough? Well, I have a way to help. You know, I help people through that too. It's you know, trying a different avenue, maybe getting another job if that won't burn you out, or going back to school like I did. I got my master's. I got different certifications, and I got a job paying me more than the last job so that I could start to save some money. And then I learned about investment, where to invest my money, how to start saving it. It takes sacrifice. I say this to everybody that asks me, you know, how do you do it? Well, one, by the grace of God. And two, it takes sacrifice. It takes commitment, discipline, and it takes, you know, dedication. And I give you this quick example about refueling, and I relay this even when I do my speaking events. Imagine, you know, wanting that six-pack and that perfect body. It's not easy. You're not going to get that overnight. it takes hard work in the gym. And if you're anything like me, when I first start working out and I come home, the first day I'm like, oh, yeah, that felt good. I can't wait to get back in there. And by day four, when I cough and it hurts, I'm like, well, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
I can do this to get that six pack. And it's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen in a week. It takes dedication, commitment, and discipline. You got to eat right. You got to make some sacrifices, but it's worth it in the end. So when I talk about refuel, you know, it's refueling in those five areas of your life. But it, you know, is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. I'm not going to stand here and tell you no fib. It is going to be hard, but it is going to be worth it. And if I can do it, I told you, zero to CEO, broke to six figures. If I can do it, anybody can. It's no secret to success, but there is a process. And with God, all things are possible.
Yes, they are. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, you get gung-ho when you go to the gym, and then you start the workout. Like you said, you're feeling all good, and then a couple of days later, you're like, oh, snap, that's painful. Mm-hmm. That hurts. But it's just a part of the process, you know. It's a part of the process. Mm-hmm. And the same goes true. You know, I'm going to just go back to some of the points you were sharing, from spirituality to mentality, emotionally, financially, and physically, having to refuel in those areas. You know, far too often we go to church on Sundays and we act like the fuel that we get from the pastors studying of the word and sharing and breaking that down is all that we're going to need to carry us from Sunday after church all the way until the next Sunday. And that is impossible. That's like eating a meal, going to cook a meal, and it's a delicious meal, but you're only going to eat it on Monday morning. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're going to starve and not eat again until Monday. That's what it's like when we depend and rely on our spiritual leaders at church to give us enough food spiritually to sustain us for the week. So when you're talking about refueling spiritually, it means go back to the well of the word, go back again and again, drink it like you do water, eat it like you do food. Know that the word is what you're going to need to strengthen you when someone gets on your nerve, when someone cuts you off, when someone is treating you inappropriately or being inconsiderate of your time or your energy. You have to know where your help comes from, and you have to go back to that well of the word and strengthen yourself, and sometimes shabak yourself. Praise God for what God has given you the strength to do in the midst of. And then mentally, you know, I know when we're irritated, when we're stressed, for some women, when they're going through the change or menopause, the brain just seems to be foggy. It's like a mush sometimes. Like you know that what used to take you 10 minutes to accomplish is now taking you an hour and an hour and a half. When
Come
those things
now.
Happen, I believe we are less productive if we continue to try to plow through than to stop, take a 10-15 minute chill, go get a cup of tea, defrag. Don't get on your phone and try to, you know, catch up with Instagram and Facebook and all the other social, but literally unplug mentally, allow yourself to either meditate or take a moment, center yourself so that you can be refueled and then go back and try to complete the task. And I don't know if that works for you, but that's one of the things that I do when I find my brain just feeling like mush. When I see that I'm trying to do something that would normally take me 10 or 15 minutes and it's taking me an hour and a half to do, I know my brain is running on fumes.
That's right. Me too.
And I'm more prone
to
mistakes.
That's right. I remember I posted something a couple weeks ago where I said, I was talking to my body. I said, well, how dare you get sick? I gave you a vegetable last week. Not how we operate.
Like, oh, I love
you
it.
Know,
how dare you get sick? I get like one vegetable.
Yeah, I gave you a carrot last week. How are you going to be sick this week? It takes more. You know, it does. It takes so much more. And like I said, a lot of times, it's tough. Like I said, I'm going to be as transparent as I can tonight. It's not easy. There's times I've been frustrated. There's times I've been, you know, I've wanted to give up. It's a, oh, my gosh, it's so hard. And it is, even with the gym. That's why I use that analogy, because if it was easy, then everybody would be doing it. It is not easy, but it is possible. And it takes the person, yourself, to be able to recharge yourself, refuel yourself. And if you can't, yeah, it's okay. There are people out there that can help. There's, you know, like there's the trainer at the gym. He'll push you. There's the life coach.
Yeah, he will.
But like I said, I have to always go back to the Bible. You know, it's there. And play that every day. I wake up every morning and I speak God's word over my life. I recently had a blood clot, and they told me that it was going to be months before I would be healed and I'd be stuck on this medication. And I thought, well, they don't know the God I serve, because that's not happening. I don't have time
Hallelujah.
For that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like, ain't nobody got time for that.
I remember my sister, I was so sick on the medication. She had to wheel me around the department store in a wheelchair. It was embarrassing. And I said, this can't be. I can't have this. And I said, I remember God already healed my mom, because she had a brain tumor, and they said she wouldn't walk or talk again. And my mom walks and talks today. But she stood on the Bible,
praise
literally.
The Lord.
Standing on it to trust him through faith that he'd heal her, and he did. So I said, God, I already know what you can do, but you're teaching me something here. You're showing me something. You're going to show me just how much of a healer you are, again, so that I can encourage somebody else who might be going through a blood clot. And I kept pushing to have the test redone, and they kept saying, well, Ms. Jones, you keep coming back every week. Normally people don't come back till 3 months later. Just take the medicine, get through it, and we'll hope that it's gone when you come back. Every day I applied the word, and I spoke healing over my leg. I said, that blood clot is going to be gone, and it is not going to travel, and it's not going to kill me. I went back after 3 weeks, and they said, to their surprise, the blood clot was gone. And they took me off the medication. Amen. And I was able to go back to my normal lifestyle. So I'm a living witness that in those moments, it's not easy, and, you know, things happen. It's life. But if you apply that word every day and you don't give up, you will get through, because it is possible.
Yes. It's like, it's that whole adage about, you know, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell the mountain how big your God is. You know, we really cower to the enemy, and sometimes the enemy has become the inner me, as in me, myself, and I. I have convinced myself that what someone else is telling me about me, a doctor or someone else, and that is not to be I'm not trying to spread misinformation. If you're sick, you've got pain, you got a problem, you go see a professional, go to the doctor, find out what
That's they
right. say, what they're saying it is. However, I trust God over my life and my diagnosis. And so I believe in the power, because the word says, greater works will ye do. And so I believe in the power of healing. I believe in that so much so my faith can make me whole.
Yes.
And obviously your faith has made you whole. Now, not everyone's faith is at that level, although all we need, it says, is a mustard seed of faith. And we know a mustard seed is so tiny, but it reaps a huge harvest. So all you really need is that mustard seed. But sometimes doubt starts making that seed feel like it's sand, and it just crumbles and it shrinks and it cowers. And I get it. I understand. And then there's some mountains that are for us to climb. You know, some mountains we just have to climb. It doesn't mean that God is causing it. It doesn't mean that it's God's will. It's just a mountain we have to climb. And that testimony will be for somebody else when we get to the top of that mountain and say, but my God kept me, or but my God healed me, but my God restored me. And so those are some of the mountains that we end up having to climb, because the testimony is greater for someone else, and the testimony about his goodness is going to be evident and obvious. So let's do this. We're going to take a real quick pause for the cause. And this PSA that we're going to toss to is actually just a rich reminder of how precious time is. We started the show off, of course, sending our condolences to John Singleton's family. And we want to impress upon you, our listeners, while we have an opportunity and we're resting the airwaves, to please take care of your physical body. Make sure that you're doing what needs to take place to be here, to be around, to be a force in others' lives, but more importantly, to show up in your own. So we're going to take a little pause for the cause, go to a special public service announcement, and I'll meet you on the other side, Juliet.
1:08 over 1:11, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
1:50 over 1:90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. And my special guest tonight is none other than Juliet N. Jones. I'm super excited because she and I met quite a while ago. And to be able to get a chance to have this conversation with you on air and allow people to eavesdrop is truly making my heart sing. So I want to go ahead and segue into one of our other points, which is restart. And sometimes people don't know how to restart. So there is a how-to restart. Long before you get there, it's like, okay, you don't want it to be daunting, and you're like, okay, so how do I restart? How do I rebrand? How do I recreate? How do I get back up when I've fallen? How do I start back in a new relationship after I've had a divorce? How do I begin again when I have to leave the city and state that I'm in and now move back to where I grew up, where people were familiar and they know me? It's embarrassing sometimes, it's humiliating sometimes, but sometimes you just have to hit that restart button, kind of like when we're blow drying your hair or you're using a blender in the kitchen and the electrical outlet goes out. There's a red button, and this is the interesting thing. The red button is already there. The red button mm-hmm. is already there for you to hit restart, which means everything that we need is already in the house. Before we became pregnant with a problem, God had already given birth to our solution. So all we need to do is hit the restart, and everything then, it's like that, those paddles, you know, when your heart stops, bam, you know, those paddles mm-hmm. kind of restart everything. So what advice could you share with someone on what they need to do to begin to restart, and how to override that stinking thinking that tells them I'm too old, or it's too late, or I'm too far in debt, or I've never had X, Y, and Z, or my family's been broke my whole life? What advice can you share, or tips and tools can you deposit into our listeners so that they understand how to restart and then what restarting actually looks like, feels like, and is?
You nailed it when you said stinking thinking. Because it starts with the mind. I believe that what a person thinks, they speak, and what they repetitively speak, they begin to believe it, and what they believe becomes the reality. So it does start with the mind, and a lot of times we do think, well, it's too late. In my case, I felt like, well, I did this before, you know, it's too late, or, you know, I'm too old, you know, I'm not a teen or young, you know, my young 20s like I was before, so I don't know if I can do this. But you can. You can restart as many times as you need to, because yesterday is gone, but we can't get that back. And tomorrow isn't promised to us. Although we plan for tomorrow and weeks and months ahead, we don't know if the next moment is going to be ours. So we only have right now. And you have to start by forgiving yourself of anything that's holding you back from moving forward. And that's what I did personally. I had to forgive myself for the wrong choices that I make, because our lives are a direct outcome of the choices that we make, right? So
it's
forgiveness. It's being able to say, I forgive me for whatever choices I made that led me to where I am right now. And I started looking at people. I remember, you know, growing up, and I know you've heard this, many people heard this a lot of time. My mom used to say, you know, birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, I can tell you who you are if I see who your friends are. So I started to remember that, and I said, you know what? If what I've been doing isn't working, then maybe I need to flock around the people that are doing things that I want to do. So if I want to be successful, maybe I need to get around some successful folks. You know, if I want to be, you know, learn more about investment, I need to hang around some investors so I can do that. It doesn't matter if I made bad investments in the past. I don't have to continue in that. I don't have to keep, you know, we have a choice. I can keep making the wrong decisions. I can keep investing bad. I can keep not saving. I can stay right where I am. And if that's what suits that person, then great. But you don't have to stay there. You have a choice. God gave us, you know, the free will of choice. He is a very forgiving God. He will wash that sin away. As white as snow is forgotten, as long as we repent that sin and move forward. So why not give ourselves that same courtesy? Love yourself enough to forgive yourself of the mistakes you made and, you know, make some different choices so that you can get the help that you desire. And that's when I started the restart button. And I even created a little certificate for myself when I first started a restart that said, you made a choice today to do something different for a better outcome. You hit the restart button.
Mm.
And that's all it takes. And I started to make some different choices to do something different. And when I did, I got different circumstances, different outcomes by those different choices that I made when I decided to restart. And it's not too late. I know people who go back to school at all ages. I know a lady that she was 89 years old and she was in school getting her master's degree. God bless her. It's never too late. So I'm here to encourage anyone, you know, don't let fear hold you back. Don't let negative thoughts hold you back because, like Maura said, thinking. It starts in the mind. You have to program your mind to think differently, to speak positive, because, like I said, what you think you'll speak and what you speak you'll believe, and what you believe will become your reality.
Oof, so true. You know, when you started with forgiving yourself, I want to unpack that because I have found at this juncture in my life, more people are almost paralyzed, if not crippled, by the thought of some of their past choices. And if I thought about what my past held for me, the choices I made in my past, in my youth, in my naivete, or in my just rebellious moments, I would never be able to do what God has been gracing me to do at this stage in my life. And so what you talked about in terms of forgiving yourself is monumental. So many times people are hitting the rewind button of their mind and they're looping over and over again the bad choices they made in relationships, the bad choices they made with finances, the bad choices they made with raising their kids or having a kid out of wedlock, the bad choices they made of having an abortion or having a kid too early, the bad choices they made with how their car, their home was repossessed or some other thing. And those thoughts will overwhelm a person to the point that instead of them celebrating their now and the moments they're in to be able to go to their next, they're stuck in their yesterday and there was and there has been, and they're not able to get to the future that God's word talks about. And so I thank you for highlighting unforgiveness as an area and issue of concern, because like you said, if you were in debt at 25, that doesn't mean you have to stay in debt at 35. Make a different choice. Go through a different door.
Right.
Utilize your finances in a different way. And we've got another caller on the line. It looks like the last four digits of their phone number are 7718. You're on with Maura Gail, and of course my special guest is Juliet N. Jones. Go ahead. What's your name?
Hi, this is Teresa. I was just calling
Hi,
in.
Teresa.
I'm enjoying the show. Hi. Just enjoying the show. And I just had a simple question. Maybe it's not so simple, but I was listening to Miss Juliet actually talk about how you you know, in effect, you're programming your mind when the circumstances are not ideal, or, you know, when you're going through, as we say. But oftentimes, you know, and I'm in a space, I'm in a season of that now. So I have certain scripture that I repeat. I have certain things, you know, that I tell myself when I get another little knock or nick from the enemy or just from life. But I often feel like it's fake, like I'm saying it, but it's not working because I don't feel like I believe it all the time. Like I'm saying it, you know, because I know it's the good thing to say. I know it's the word of God. I know it's the truth. But my flesh will often be like, well, you're saying it. It's not going to do anything. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? Or how do you relate to that?
Well, I'll tell you what works for me, because I've been in that spot too, where you say it over and over again, and then you're waiting for it to resonate, to you know, start making you feel better. A lot of times I'll even go to something personal. For example, there was a time not so long ago where I was feeling really down, and I'm like, oh, man, I got so much going on, so much on my plate. I was so focused on what I needed to do or what I didn't have yet that I forgot to look at the blessings that were already around me. So what I started to focus on was what I did have. And I said, you know what? I woke up today and I'm not in a hospital. Now, this may sound corny, but this is a true story. I can't make this up. And I said, you know what, God? I said, I woke up today and I'm not in a hospital today. Somebody's in a hospital right now on a breathing machine, or somebody's in a hospital fighting for their life, or whatever the ailment. So I'm going to focus on the fact that I was able to get up out of the bed and I was able to breathe on my own. My child is here. Somebody's child either died or their child is missing. But my child is in school today, and they're alive and they're well, and they're not in the hospital. I even went a step further, and I said, I was able to start my car this morning. Somebody doesn't have a car. So you start making it a little more personal and focus on, in addition to quoting the scripture and positive affirmations, start looking at the things that you do have, the things that you're blessed to have, look at your blessings, and start to focus your mind on that. And that will make you feel a little bit better, because it's something more close to the heart, more close to home. I woke up today and I said, God, you know what? My mom's alive today. My friend, she just lost her mother. And so I feel for her, but I have to focus on the fact that I woke up today and my mom was still alive. So make it personal to you. Look at the things that you do have. The fact that you're alive today and you're able to even live and breathe and quote those scriptures to yourself. Say, you know what, self, while you're looking in the mirror, you're here today and you're alive and well, and you're able to even quote these scriptures to yourself. And that's one step closer to getting to that belief and that becoming your reality than you were the day before.
That's good. Man, yeah,
that's very good,
you know, because it would force me to take inventory of what is good and what is going right and what I have to be grateful for, as opposed to what I'm waiting on to change or to get fixed. So, amen,
right.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for asking that question. Thank you so much. You know, that's Philippians 4:8 is what, of course, comes to mind, to think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, to think on these things. And it's interesting because, as Sister Teresa was sharing, saying, you know, she's feeling like, you know, it wasn't in her. You know, it's kind of like that whole fake it till you make it. You know how that goes.
That's right.
But there's also a dangerous slippery slope of us becoming the doubting Thomas, you know, like I got to see it in order for it to be. And so when you shared have the attitude of gratitude and regurgitate, make it personal, so that she is embedding a different groove into her spirit, reminding her spirit, which will then convince her mind of what is real. Because even if the thing
that's
that
right.
one is waiting on has not yet manifested or presented itself, there are some very real, touchable, tangible things that God is doing. And I can go to air. I can go to my eyes working, my ears working. I can go to my vocal cords giving forth sound. I can go to my hand touching my belly, knowing that I have the ability to sense things. I mean, there's so much, as you just eloquently stated, that we can go to our reservoir, but the enemy or the enemy keeps us into believing that the thing that we're waiting for is bigger and more important, when the most valuable things that we have in life are the things that no money can buy, that no paycheck get us out of. No money can buy perfect health. No money or big contract can give you that kidney or that organ or that heartbeat or that oxygen that we freely get from God every single day. But then we can add to that that you've got a healthy dad that's alive or a healthy mom that's alive, or you've got vehicle and you don't have to stand at a bus stop. Or if you're at a bus stop, you can stand on your own 2 feet and not be in a wheelchair. Or if you're in a wheelchair, you got a wheelchair and you're not paralyzed or having to lay in a bed. Or if you're having to lay in a bed, that you can lay in a bed and you're not underneath the ground. I mean, the list can go on and on and on and on, but it is so imperative, so important, and so necessary that we have this attitude of gratitude. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that I find myself doing when I fall into hard times or dark days, or what I refer to as my darkest winter, I serve my way out of the darkness, because it is impossible to do for others and help other people smile or give of the little that you think you may have when you feel that you're in lack, and not leave with a changed perspective, because the very thing that I go to do to serve them ends up fueling me for my next. And so I've been very successful at, when I am feeling down or when I am feeling like I am in lack or when I am feeling like I have lost something, I go to where people really have lost something. And it's all perspective, of course, because my reality is my reality. But when I go and someone doesn't have a key to their home or doesn't have a key to their own car, and doesn't have access to a shower without it being a community shower, and doesn't have their own bedroom with a door and a doorknob, but sleeps in an area where there are multiple beds wide open and have to sleep with their personal belongings underneath their head as a pillow, it is not only humbling, but it is such a rich reminder of how my circumstance and situations, albeit may not be perfect, it is not what that particular person may be experiencing. But it's not to look down on them. It is to merely say, I've got time and energy. Let me share that with you. And the gratitude and the joy in their eyes always reminds me that it could be me. It could be me. And then it sets back that motion again of that attitude of gratitude and being thankful and thinking on the good things, because God always allows us to see the good or the God in every situation, no matter where we are in life. Juliet, I am loving this conversation with you, and I'm already knowing I've got to have you back. I mean, I know the time is steady creeping away, but I already know I have got to have you back. You've got some pearls and some wisdom and such a humble way of sharing life lessons that I know my listeners are craving. I've been getting chats and texts saying, oh my gosh, I hope you're having a bat. And I had already told you I was going to have you back even before we had this conversation. I sent you a message saying, and I want to hear about that, and I want to hear about that. Because you have lived some things, but more importantly, you have, as the caller said, you have taken inventory of some of the things that have happened to you so that you can catalog them and share with other people how not to get caught up or bogged down with that. And those are a part of the lessons that I believe we need to learn and hear. So let's go into just unpack a little bit about dedication, commitment, and discipline, because they go hand in hand with recharging, refueling, and restarting. Isn't that a part of that journey that leads you to the dedication, the commitment, and the discipline?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm just a girl from Harrisburg. I was not born privileged, not famous, nothing. And you said something so key when we were talking about just taking the time to appreciate the things that are around us. I know some very wealthy people that are unhappy. A lot of times people think money is what's going to make you happy, and that's so far from the truth. Success is what you make it, but it's not always contingent upon a dollar bill. just waking up today and knowing that we have life, that's a blessing. And that's more priceless. Having your child with you, when, like you said, when somebody else lost their child or their child's missing, or they're not even speaking to their child, the fact that you have that relationship, that's priceless. You said something else so key, Maura, that I also highlight, and I hope people really caught that, was time. Time is so valuable. That's the next most valuable thing to money, is giving of your time and being able to serve others. A lot of people, you know, they're always looking at the fact that it could be better, but I'm always reminding them it could be worse. It really could be. Mm. And the times that I went through my trials, you know, it really opened my eyes to that when I was dealing with the blood clot, a recent concussion, you know, small setbacks, you know, but the enemy does come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's word comes to overcome that, to protect us, to be our comforter, our healer. And he wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be healthy, and he wants us to enjoy life. It's just learning the process and how to recharge, refuel, restart, and transform personally and professionally in order to enjoy life and live our best life. And it's not something that you'll get right away. It's a process, like you said, and that's where the dedication comes in. It's being dedicated to wanting to learn and wanting to grow, to be open enough to say, I'm going to die to this flesh, which is not easy, and be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, our body, and our spirit, and being completely open to receiving God and all that he has for us, because he wants the best for us. We just have to trust him enough to allow him to transform us. So he's going to chisel away, and it's going to hurt, and we're going to go through some things, but it's always for the best, and it is possible. I can't stress it enough, and I really don't have enough time to get into my entire journey and all of my testimonies, because I wasn't always, you know, like this. I used to be that same person that was always crying broke and always looking at, you know, if I had this and if I had that, but I had to tame my tongue and watch the words that I speak. And like I said, start thinking differently. You start speaking differently and find ways to not only take care of yourself, but something else you said so key is serving others. That's what we were here to do, to help our brothers and sisters, you know, help others around us, the less fortunate, and even those that are trying, you know, that's what God wants us to be, that light as he leads and directs our path. And we have to be a representation of that. So we should do all things in excellence, but don't forget to be thankful for just where you are and what you have in this moment.
Yes, and amen. You know, I thank you for the way that you share what you share, but I also want to, there was a phrase that you talked about, us dying to this flesh, you know, and that's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. But the problem with dying to the flesh is, of course, we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. And it sounds like an oxymoron. Living and sacrifice seems like it's opposite. Sacrifice is to lay it down and not, and then living is alive and breathing and moving. Well, we crawl off the altar. We present ourselves to God as living sacrifice, but because we're a living, moving being, we keep crawling off the altar. So it is a dying daily to oneself. You may not get it right 24 hours of every day, but if you get on that altar and you die daily to that thought, you know, during the traffic is bad, and in that hour commute home or that 30-minute commute home, you don't lash out and start cursing at the air, because, of course, the people that are on the road can't hear you anyway, and you die to the thought of cursing that person out, or somebody steps on your foot, and you die to the fact that you want to yank out and react or reject them, or you die to the fact that your spouse does something that irritates you in that moment, and instead of verbally yelling at them, or your kid verbally yelling at them, you die to the reaction of it, and you pause and you count to 10 and you regroup and you respond instead of reacting. That's a part of dying daily. And eventually the thing that used to make you want to curse will have less and less power over you. The person that used to make your blood pressure want to boil up will have less and less power over your stress levels. We keep giving out the power when all we have to do is look inside,
center ourselves and remind ourselves that in 5 minutes, this won't matter, or in 5 days, this won't even be a flicker of a reminder to me that this even took place. I will not remember driving in traffic in 5 days from now, or mm-hmm. in 5 years from now. That is not going to be the important thing. And so we have to put things in their place and know that the living sacrifice, the dying daily, is a day by day, minute by minute challenge that we, or not, yeah, challenge that we can overcome, because we just practice it every day. And the more we practice it, in 21 days, it becomes a habit, right? And then the next thing you know, it becomes a lifestyle. And the next thing you know, you've given up cursing for compliments, or you've given up chocolate for carrots or something, you know. And that's, of course, exaggerating, but I'm sure our listeners get the point. It's inch by inch, you know, inch by inch. And you've given us some very simplistic, practical tools that we can do today, that we don't have to wait a month for, a week for, to apply. But these are simplistic tools. So, Juliet, we've got 5 minutes left, and two of those are going to be the extra out of the show. So in your last 2 to 3 minutes, I'd like for you to first share with our listeners where they can connect with you on social media, websites, and then share with our listeners how they can purchase your book. And then I want you to send me a link also, because we'll post it on our Up to Me show page so that people can go and actually support your ministry and your gift. So if you would be so kind as to share that information, that would be great.
Sure. Thank you so much again for having me on this amazing, oh my goodness, Omara show. I love it. It was such an honor meeting you and the rest of the STEM the Movement team back in Jersey at the Christian Film Festival. Yeah. So I thank God for divine connection. Yes, they can connect with me on all social media outlets online under Juliet, and that's J-U-L-I-E-T, N, Jones, and that's Facebook is Juliet N. Jones, Instagram is Juliet N. Jones, and my Twitter tag is at my J. Nicole, and that's N-I-C-H-O-L-E. They can also visit my website for author, speaker, and business coach, life coach, as well at www.VIPFortune500ConsultingFirm.com. Again, that's www.VIPFortune500ConsultingFirm.com, or they can email me at VIPFortune500@yahoo.com. The book is titled Tired of Being Tired, Recharge, Refuel, Restart. Again, I'm Juliet N. Jones, and it's available on all social media outlets and online at Amazon.com.
Praise the Lord. Juliet, thank you, thank you, thank you for A, saying yes and having a yes in your spirit to do the show. I look forward to having you back on, because we're going to unpack that next topic that we talked about via email. So I'll get with you and your team, and we'll find out when we can structure that in. Listeners, I know that you guys, if you didn't take copious notes, and even if you have, I want to remind you, this show will become a podcast in about an hour and a half to 2 hours. You can catch it on iTunes, Google Play, or the Stitcher app. This is the kind of information that you need to hear again and again and again. You know, the word talks about faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And that's what this kind of show, it gets into your spirit and into your heart so that you can actually walk it out and live it and grow as a result of it. So first and foremost, Juliet, thank you so much again for having a yes in your heart and out of your mouth to say yes to do this show. And thanks for being transparent, and thanks for adding value to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I appreciate your participation tonight. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And I want to remind our, you're more than welcome. I want to remind our listeners that I can be reached on social media at Mara Gale. My website is maragale.com. That's no Y, no I. That's MauraGale.com. And also the film STEM the Movement, where we actually met Juliet when we were at a Christian film festival. Our film was selected. STEM the Movement is available at stemthemovement.org. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next Thursday, we hope you live a beyond blessed life. And if you're tired of being tired, we got something for that too. Go to Amazon.com and get Juliet N. Jones' book. God bless you and good night.
I can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Oh,